This is Rick Malone for the San Francisco Symphony. Jean Sibelius' life spanned one of the most remarkable periods in history, and not just in the history of Western music. When he was a teenager, both Brahms and Tchaikovsky were at the peak of their careers. Wagner had yet to write Parsifal, and Robert Schumann was as recent a memory as Aaron Copland is nowadays. By the time Sibelius died in 1957, both Bartók and Schoenberg were gone, Stravinsky's career was winding down, and revolutionaries such as Stockhausen and Takamitsu were coming into their own. It's also worth remembering that Sibelius was born into a world without electric light, phonographs, or automobiles, and died in an era of computers, rockets, television, and atomic energy. In many ways, the man matches his music. Both are rooted in an earlier era, but still reflect their own. Sibelius was never a modernist or avant-garde, but in his own way, despite his romantic roots, he was every bit a 20th century composer. For reasons that are not entirely clear, Sibelius has also been one of the most polarizing composers of the last 100 years. While early 20th century critics tended to portray Sibelius as an innovator, after 1950, the typical impulse was to dismiss him as a second-rate post-romantic with an inflated reputation. It didn't help that Sibelius was an eminently practical composer who was perfectly willing to crank out ponderous anthems for civic occasions or drippy salon trifles to make some quick cash. That part of his musical personality was the diametrical opposite of the man who wrote some of the most important works of the early 20th century. His 7 symphonies, his tone poems, and his violin concerto were the products of long gestations and numerous revisions, but now rank just behind Shostakovich's catalog as the most recorded works written in the 20th century. Not bad for the man whom the great conductor René Leibovitz once referred to as the worst composer in the world. But in 1898, all that was in the future. Jean Sibelius was a skinny redhead with volcanic talent, glittering intelligence, and an almost total lack of self-restraint or common sense. He drank, he smoked, he caroused, he borrowed. Basically, a party animal. In 1891, his mother decided she was fed up with the lack of letters from her ditzy son in Vienna and sent him a questionnaire containing a systematic cross-examination about his associates, his habits, and his diet. To his credit, Jean dutifully returned it, filled out more or less honestly. Although by 1898 he was a 33-year-old husband and father, he doesn't seem to have changed his habits all that much. The composition of his first symphony was briefly derailed after he was caught up in a boozy brawl with a group of Polish street workers and spent the night in jail. At the time he began writing his first symphony, Sibelius's career was teetering on the brink, but its successful premiere in 1899 led to a commission for music for a series of patriotic tableaus that included the overture Finlandia. That work not only cemented his worldwide fame as a composer, but made him the world's most famous Finn, period. Ever since its premiere, Sibelius's first symphony has been compared to the symphonies of Tchaikovsky, which were among Sibelius's favorites. Although he was originally quite happy to encourage the associations, later in life he became downright testy on the subject. He considered Tchaikovsky's work to represent the soft part of human nature, while his works were the hard parts. Sibelius eventually wrote the Tchaikovsky influence out of his system, but it is most definitely a part of his Symphony No. 1. No matter how pervasive the influence of Tchaikovsky might be in the rest of the piece, there's nothing of that great Russian symphonist in the opening. It begins with a long, desolate clarinet solo over occasional rumblings in the timpani, setting a bleak scene that would become a trademark of Sibelius's later works. That same clarinet melody will reappear as a slow introduction to the last movement, an unusual touch in a symphony which otherwise sticks pretty close to the standard 19th century symphonic form. The second movement is a series of alternating sections, returning each time to a pensive melody. Its classic rondo form, used throughout the previous two centuries and surviving into our own in almost every pop song. There's even a pastoral section, another traditional part of 18th and 19th century symphonies. A series of woodwind solos leads to an impassioned orchestral climax. Then the opening theme returns as a funeral march. A very Tchaikovskyan touch features a scurrying string pattern underneath ominous brass. And the string melody returns once again to round out the movement. The third movement is the most traditional, taking the form of a Beethoven scherzo trio. But it is stylistically unique, with a vibrant, dance-like scherzo section set against a nearly static central trio. That trio section anticipates the Jean Sibelius of 1911, who would be shocking Europe with his fourth symphony. The finale begins with the strings bringing back the clarinet melody from the first movement, but this time, passion and intensity replace the bleakness that began the symphony. A slow, rapturous secondary theme takes over from the primary melodic material, another Tchaikovskyan touch. the opening theme eventually returns to bring the movement and the symphony to its climax. The conclusion, however, departs abruptly from the Russian model. Instead of a typically grandiose finale, an unexpected melancholic chill leads to a few short, enigmatic pianissimo strokes. This final symphony of the 19th century has given us a glimpse of the 20th. It's almost as if Sibelius was putting a quiet, somewhat foreboding cap on a period of great musical achievement. Sibelius's 92-year lifespan would give him a front-row seat to one of the most transformative periods in Western music. But in 1898, his future was bright, and his first symphony marked an important transition in not just a career, but an era. This is Rick Malone for the San Francisco Symphony.